I wonder if you would turn with me to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel, chapter 4. While you're turning to it, I could maybe take this opportunity of thanking the folks here in Faith Free Presbyterian Church for their prayers during the time that I was confined in the hospital. And I indeed knew the benefit of those prayers. I believe that the Lord's hand was upon me because of the prayers of the people of God. I believe that indeed we're well on the way now to being fully cured and getting back to full strength. And I would just like to thank you not only for your prayers, but for the very practical gifts from God's people. We rejoice in these things, and we hope that you will indeed accept our heartfelt thanks for this. I just want to read a few verses from this chapter tonight for the sake of time. We'll be reading the verses 27 to 29 and the verses 39 to 42. And just before we turn to the Word of the Lord, I wonder with God's Word open before us, if we could bow and ask the God of the Word Himself to come and to bless our coming together tonight. Our gracious God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we rejoice in Thy presence this evening hour. We rejoice each and every one of us who know this wonderful experience of being born again of the Spirit of God. We thank Thee, dear Father God, that though we were once guilty, hell-deserving, and undeserving sinners, that now we're saved by Thy wondrous grace, born again of Thy Holy Spirit. Once we were on that downward road to hell and to a lost and undone eternity, now our feet have been turned, our footsteps lead us towards heaven and home. And we rejoice in it tonight, Father God. But Father, some of us are out of Christ. Some of us are without God and without hope in the world. Some of us know nothing of this wonderful experience. Some of us are strangers to grace and to God. Father, tonight in Jesus' name we pray that Thou wouldst speak to such hearts, that, Lord, Thou wouldst draw them to Thyself with the bands and with the cords of love. Help us, Father God, to uplift Jesus before them. Help us to preach the Word not in the enticing words that man teacheth, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power. Help us to reach the hearts of men and women. Help us to uplift Jesus, that He and He alone here tonight might be uplifted, that He might be glorified. He said indeed that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Myself. Oh, we pray that He might be lifted up tonight. We pray indeed that none might be seen save Jesus. To this end, Father, we pray, have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all can see Christ only, always living in me. Father, we'll give to Thee all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for Thou and Thou alone art worthy. Amen. Amen. John chapter 4, reading from the verse 27, the well-known story of this encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ with this woman, this harlot woman of Samaria, and the wondrous conversion of that woman, the joy that she found in her heart. One moment she was heading out to this well of Sychar. The next moment she met the Lord Jesus Christ. Her sin was dealt with. She was born again, gloriously saved. One moment a harlot on the way to hell. The next moment a saint on the way to glory. That's the wonderful way that our Lord and our Savior works. And we take up the story at verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" Or, "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Amen. And we know the Lord will follow with the blessing this reading from his infallible and precious truth for his name's sake. The verse that I would like to base my thoughts upon this evening is that verse 29. Wonderful little verse of invitation. "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" There's that little word, "come" again, that we heard from that chapter 55 of Isaiah this morning in that first verse that was preached by our brother Dr. Barrett. Here once again, although I assure you that our brother and I didn't do any conferring during the week, but here again is this blessed invitation from God's own holy word. And our prayer is indeed that we'll find root in the heart of those who have not yet come to this wonderful Savior of ours. "Come, see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Let me say right away that this was no chance encounter that this woman had with the Lord Jesus Christ. That this was no coincidence whatsoever that these two, the harlot of Sychar and the Lord Jesus Christ, came to meet at Jacob's well. This, I have no doubt, was an appointment that the Lord Jesus Christ had to keep. An appointment that had been made from all eternity, that upon this very day, at this very hour, he should come along down this hot and sultry and dusty road to this well, knowing at this particular time, at the sixth hour, that this woman would come along. How do I know that that was an appointment, that it was no chance encounter? Look at verse 4, which tells us that he must needs go through Samaria. That appointment that had been made in eternity, it had now come in time. The Lord hastened and came and was there at the well of Sychar, as he always was, in good time for any appointment. That very hour, not the hour in the cool of the day when the rest of the respectable woman from that place called Sychar would have been at the well. But just at that time when no one else would have come out, in the very heat of the noontide sun, at the very time when only this woman dared to come out and show her face for those respectable women from the place would not want to have been seen, in this harlot's company. So she had to come out at the hot time in the evening, and the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing this, came at that particular time. So it was no chance meeting, it was no chance encounter, it was something that had been planned for the miraculous conversion of this hardened sinner. And not only of this woman, but of these men and women of this little city of Sychar, who, some of them saved by her testimony, some of them saved when they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And here, this little nucleus for this church in Samaria was formed. That church which, in later days, the evangelist Philip was to come down and there to have a great time of revival as the Spirit of God moved with great power throughout that land. So that it was no coincidence. It may have seemed a coincidence to human eyes. It may even have seemed a coincidence to this woman herself. But it was something that was indeed planned of God. It was no wonder that this poor woman, she left her water pot, forgot her errand and everything else, and went charging down that road, back into the city, back with this wonderful, with this exciting news of this personage that she had met at the well, that she came to them with this gracious invitation to come to see this man that has met me, this man that has told me all things that ever I did, this man who put his finger on my sin, who exposed my whole life before me, brought me under conviction, saved my soul. Oh, come see this man, my friends. Is not this the Christ? So for just a short time, we want to look at this invitation of this saved sinner. First place, we would notice here this glowing testimony that she gave. She said, come, see a man which told me all things whatsoever I did. See a man. What a wonderful expression. See a man. Richard Cecil, an eminent old English preacher and minister, was once dealing with a very sick woman. She says to him, she says, sir, I have no notion of God. I can form no notion of Him. You talk to me about Him, but I cannot get a single idea that seems to contain anything. But, says Cecil to her, you can conceive of the Jesus Christ as a man. God comes down to you in Him, full of kindness and condescension. Ah, sir, said the woman, that gives me something to lay hold on. There I can rest. I can understand God in His Son. That's why we have that wonderful statement of the Apostle Paul that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Can we just imagine, or could we just conceive for one moment what it would have been like if God had just come down to this scene of time, just as He was in all of His awesome majesty, in all of His blazing brightness, in all of His awful holiness. Can we just for one moment try to conceive what that would have been like? Why, if He had come near to any poor sinner such as this harlot woman, or any other sinner in this sin-cursed scene of time, we would have been consumed by the fire of His holiness. But praise His wonderful name today that He did come down. But He came down in human form. He came down in the personage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down as one like ourselves, one in whom we could lay hold upon, and not in something that we couldn't conceive, not as something that we could not form any notion of. John 1 and 14, we are told indeed that the Lord Jesus Christ came in such form that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You know, apart from all that, no man, no poor sinful man could look upon God and live. I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy. Look up a couple of scriptures here. Form a contrast. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the verses 15 and 16. We have something of a picture of God. For the Lord Jesus Christ, in His godly, His divine personage, which in His times He shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, dwelling in light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be the honor and power everlasting, dwelling in light. Such tremendous light. The most tremendous light that we know is the sun. We can't get too near it. Try to imagine a far more powerful and greater light, a light no man could approach on. I want you to take that and contrast it with 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up into glory. Not in light that was inaccessible, that went beyond our infinite and puny conception, but was manifest to us in the flesh. Then we have the testimony of the Apostle John in his first epistle, in the very first verse. This was not something that was inaccessible. Here we have the testimony of a man who for over 3 years walked the roads of Palestine with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness to it. There again, the witness of the apostle. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that they could see, something which they could handle, something which they could understand of the Word of life. But just one further testimony of the Apostle Paul in that wonderful chapter, Philippians chapter 2, a couple of verses, 7 and 8, speaking again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Like that poor sick woman, I think that we have no problem whatsoever in conceiving God in the personage of His Son. There is something that we can grasp. There is something that even the smallest tenderest child can lay hold upon. We can understand God and His Son. You know, that woman didn't stop there when she said, "See a man." She went on and uttered these words, "Which told me all things whatsoever I did." She's getting her theology in her own simple way. She was getting her theology right. Not only seeing a man, not only speaking of a man, but speaking here of one who was able to tell her all things whatsoever she had did. Someone who had never been down this road before as a man. Someone who had never walked into the village of Sychar, had never met this woman, had never come across her at any time in her life. And yet in this one meeting, he was able to tell her past life's history, that she had five husbands, that the one she was living with at that particular time was not her husband. One who could tell her all things whatsoever she did. And I believe that this here speaks of omniscience, of all knowing. This speaks of His wonderful deity. That He was not only man, but that He was God. Here she had met Him in His mediatorship. That there was only the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that He was man on the one hand, that He was God on the other hand. That there was the two distinct natures, and yet they were met together in one person. God and man. Paul the Apostle, writing to the Colossians in Colossians 2 and verse 9, gives that wonderful word of His deity, that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the only mediator between God and man. He was the only one who, as God, could put His hand into the hand of God the Father. He was the only one who, as man, could put His hand into the hand of poor, sinful, fallen man and reconcile the two together. Come, my friends, tonight. Come and see this man, this wonderful personage, this God-man. As man, He had to come to live that spotless, sinless life, keeping the law. As man, He had to go all the way to Calvary's cross and to suffer and to die and to bear our sins in His own body in the tree. But as God, and God alone, He had the power to forgive our sins and to save our souls. Thank God for this woman's testimony. Thank God she had got it exactly right. That here was God, and here was man, in one person, who had gloriously saved her, gloriously delivered. Thank God tonight that wonderful personage stands in our midst. The Lord Jesus, as God and as man, reaching out with wounded hands to poor perishing sinners. You might be as deep-dyed a sinner as this poor old harlot. Or you might be a hardened religious sinner. The Apostle Paul, he's here. Come. Meet Him. See Him. The testimony that this poor sinner gave of her remarkable conversion, her remarkable encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. We go on here, secondly, to the gracious inquiry that she made. The gracious inquiry. Is not this the Christ? You know, if this woman, knowing who she was and what she was, had to come racing into this village after this in the full flush of what just had happened to her up there at the well, and had gone to these men and women of this village in a bold and impetuous manner and said to them, she said, up there at the well, or if she had said, up there at the well, I have met him, the Christ, the Messiah, the very one that all the prophets told us about. They would have tapped their heads and said, what has she got up to now? They would have laughed her to scorn. But instead she came to them with a very simple question. With a question, I believe, fraught with heavenly wisdom itself. Question which was giving them the chance and the opportunity to work it out for themselves. She wasn't telling them that he was the Messiah. She wasn't telling them that the one that the prophets had expected to come had come. But she was in a very gracious and in a very humble manner telling them or asking them simply, is this not the Christ? Is this not the Christ? This one who has come. This one who has met with me. This one who has wonderfully changed and transformed my life. Made me a new creature. Oh, my friends, my neighbors, is not this the Christ? Oh, dear sinner friend, let me ask you that humble, that simple question tonight. Is this not the Christ? The one who has taken so many sinners, hardened sinners, transformed their lives before your very eyes. This is not the Christ. Let me for a moment transport you up that old hill crag of Golgotha. Let me show you once again those three crosses. That one, that bleeding form upon that middle cross. The blood is flowing from his head and from his hands and his feet. His life's blood is ebbing out of him. Soon he will cry, it is finished. And as we point to him, we would say with John Newton, O the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb, the Lamb of Calvary, the Lamb that was slain, that liveth again, is this not the Christ? There's one on that cross beside him. And as he looks upon that form, that old thief who, like his friend on the other side, had been cursing and blaspheming, suddenly he sees this one on the center cross. He sees this one not as a criminal like himself, not as a hardened sinner as he was, but he sees them as God's Lamb, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, sees them as totally and completely innocent, and recognizes them as the Lamb of God. And that old hardened criminal, murderer, turns to him and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Immediately. Well, he wasn't told to do a single thing, but immediately came back the answer. Today, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not in some hell, not in some purgatory. Not trying to work some way into the heavenly paradise, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Again, sinner, I ask, is not this the Christ? Let's come down that old hill of Golgotha once again. Let's enter into the garden tomb where they brought the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they placed that lifeless form within the sepulchre, where they put the stone up against it and sealed it. Then let's go down. And that morning after the Sabbath was passed, Let's go dine with those faithful women who went to embalm. And lo and behold, what do we see? The seal broken. The stone is rolled away. We go in. We find no dead body in the sepulchre. Angels in white standing there with this wonderful, glorious news, with this message, He is not here. He is risen. Praise God. He has risen. Is not this the Christ? Is this not God's anointed? We go with the Apostle Paul to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And what does Paul tell us concerning this? And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, declared or determined to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Here was the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ was all that He said He was. You remember back around the cross there. You remember the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers and the others who stood round about that place. You remember how they cried out to Him, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and come down from the cross." He could have done that. He could have saved Himself. He could have come down from the cross. That would have been a superhuman effort. That would have been a powerful, a mighty effort. But it would not for one moment have proved His omnipotence. It would not for one moment have proved that He was God. That He was God's Son as He had said He was. Because superhuman, powerful, well, it might be out of the ordinary, was not the power of God, was not the power and the omnipotence, the all-powerfulness and the almighty of deity. No, He had to go down into the tomb and die. And thank God tonight, death could not hold her prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. Hallelujah! Christ arose. Where death is thy sting, where grave thy victory. Thank God that death and the grave was swallowed up in that powerful victory on that first Easter morning when He rose Himself, when He brought Himself back from the dead. We ask once again with the woman of Samaria, is not this the Christ? Oh, my friend, my dear sinner friend, in the face of such overwhelming evidence, we ask, is not the Christ? There are many here tonight, myself included, who can say, who can look up full in our Savior's face and say with Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Is not this the Christ? Well, we had the glowing testimony that she gave. Then we had this gracious inquiry. And finally and quickly, the gracious entreaty that she made to others. That wonderful little word, "Come." That wonderful little word of invitation that speaks volumes. "Come. Come see a man. Come see this wonderful one." Now you know when you're saved, especially just saved, just born again of the Spirit of God, oh, most of us can look back. Remember that full flush of the love that was in our hearts when we were first saved. when the Lord first lifted us from that awful pit and from the miry clay. Just like this woman, we were ready to forget about anything else. We were ready to forget the thing that we were doing. And we were ready to go off immediately and tell others of this wonderful one that we have met, of this wonderful Savior who had saved us, who had transformed our lives, who had made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we couldn't be held back then. And we went forth. And when we were ready to tell forth, the man who was known as the chief of the English preachers, George Whitefield, these wonderful words to say about his own conversion. He says, God was pleased to remove the heavy load and to enable me to lay hold on his dear son by a living fear and by giving me the spirit of adoption to seal me to the day of everlasting redemption. Oh, with what joy! Joy unspeakable! Joy that was full and big with glory was my soul filled when the weight of sin was cast off, and an abiding sense and assurance of the love of God and the full assurance of the faith of God broke forth upon my disconsolate soul. Surely, says Whitefield, it was the day of my espousals, a day to be had in everlasting remembrance. At first my joy was like the spring tide that was ready to overflow its banks. These are the wonderful words of the conversion of a man who spent the rest of his life telling men and women, come see this wonderful Savior of mine, who appealed to men and women in tears as he went the length and breadth of the British Isles, as 50 times he crossed the Atlantic with the same message for the United States of America, with tears, come, come. Meet this wonderful one, this wonderful Christ. Remember Paul, wonderfully converted to the Lord Jesus Christ on that Damascus road, a hardened religious sinner, if ever there was one. And yet when Ananias went to see him, and when he was cured of his blindness, when he was baptized, the Word tells us that straightway, in Acts 9 and 20, straightway he preached in the temples. This was the Christ, the Son of God. No one, a man is saved, born again, when his bosom is filled with that message, that straightway he's ready to go forth and to preach it. Remember that night over 10 years ago when I knelt myself, a hardened drunkard, a cast off from society, living in the very gutter itself, full of vice, full of sin. And yet in that wonderful night, 9:30, as I just knelt there and cried from the depths of my heart, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. There and then, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. My friend, that same Savior that met this old hardened drunkard over 10 years ago is here tonight. And we can say with Paul, it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. To this very day, he's still saving the chiefs of sinners. This woman came. She gave her testimony. Many in that city, we're told, believe because of her word. You have a testimony to bring. Thank God he has given me that joy and privilege of bringing that testimony and seeing souls saved as we gave that testimony.
But others in this village, when they met him, they also believed. And look at those wonderful words in 42. For we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Every born-again believer here tonight can echo those words, that we know that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Come, friend. Come. It's not only our appeal. It's not only the appeal of this poor, sinful woman so gloriously saved. It's the words, the appeal of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Come tonight. Come and welcome to Jesus. Come and meet this wonderful, wonderful Savior of ours. I tell you from experience, you'll not regret one moment of it. Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for Thine own precious Word. We praise Thee for the Spirit's invitation to come. We pray now that man's voice is silent, that Thou wilt speak on by Thy still small voice. Thou wilt bring men and women unto Thyself. For Jesus' sake. Amen.